This Torah class is brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.
Okay, good evening, everyone. Shalom Aleichem, Bruchim Abam. I'm glad everyone came to the shir tonight. We have a major subject this evening, the fate of Yishmael and the end of days. We're continuing the shir in Sefer Bereishis, which are graciously sponsored by Dr. Zakheim U'Mishpachta, Lila Nishmas, Rav Shlomo Eliezer, Ben Harav Yaakov Zakheim, and Lila Nishmas, Dr. Zakheim's mother, Rivka Bas Tavi Halevi, Began Eden Teim Nuchasam, they should be Melissa Yisharm for the whole family, Ad Biasko El Tzedek. Tonight's shir is sponsored by Mrs. Rivka Ruzhin, in honor of the safety of our soldiers and brothers and sisters we saw around the world. Hashem should watch over them. Hashem yishmereihem v'chayehem lo'erech yamim v'shanim. We thank Mrs. Ruzhin for her hishtadfus in many of the shiurim. And Hashem should bless her. Shefa bracha v'atzlacha. Tonight's shiur is also dedicated by Mrs. Yehudit Herman of Yushalayim in honor of Harav Shabtai Herman's 80th birthday. On Hey Kislev, Reb Shabtai was one of the great pioneers of Torah and Eretz Yisrael, and he built a Mishpacha Mefayeres, so we mevarich the Herman family, and Reb Shabtai, and all of his children, and his whole Mishpacha, with good health, happiness, and long life, Ad Biaskel Tzedek. And also Hashem should watch over all the soldiers, and all the Chatufim should return home quickly. And we thank Mrs. Herman, who's one of the most enthusiastic followers of the Shirim. Okay, Parshas Toldos. We're going to back to Yishmael. Here we go. We're going to be focusing this evening on the Pirkei de Rabbi Elazar. Pirkei Rabbi Elazar says, why is his name Yishmael? Why is his name Yishmael? Says Pirkei Rabbi Elazar, Sha'asid HaKadosh Baruch Hu L'Shmaya B'Kol Nakas Ha'am. Hashem is destined to hear the outcry of the nation. Because of what the Yishmaelim are going to do, Be'eretz and Eretz Yisrael, Be'achras Hayomim, the end of days, Lefikach Nikra Shema Yishmael, Shenemar Yishma Kel V'ya'anim. Why are they called Yishmael? God is destined to hear the prayer of the Jewish people. So there are a few questions over here. Question number one is, that is not what the angel said. The angel did not say, call him Yishmael, because God is destined to hear the prayer of Klal Yisrael. Hashem said, you should call him Yishmael, because God heard your prayer. What indication at all, what reference at all is there to the prayer of the Jewish people? There's no reference even to Klal Yisrael. It's talking about this guy, Yishmael. God heard Hagar's tefillah. V'karas Shemai Yishmael, Kishama Hashem El Onyech. God heard your affliction. Where do we see anything about the Jewish people?
When did
Pirkei Elazar is a medrash. It was written by Rabbi Elazar ben Horkanus. It is the first recorded Torah Shebaal Peh. It was even before the Mishnah. So we're talking more than 1500 years ago. Okay? But the Bnei Yisachar asks an even more basic question. If the Pasuk says, call him Yishmael, ki shama, is shama past or is shama future? Shama is past. So his name should be Shamakel, not Yishmael, not the future, past. The Pasuk says, call him Yishmael, ki shama Hashem, past tense, not future tense. Where did the future come from? Where is there any indication about anything that's going to happen in the future? So my question is, where is there any indication that Hashem is going to listen to Klal Yisrael's tefillah? That's a valid question. I mean, he's called Yishmael because God told the Malach that Hashem heard Hagar's tefillah. Where do you see anything about Klal Yisrael? There were no Jews there in the desert. There were just Hagar and Yishmael. And furthermore, the Bnei Yisachar asks, why past tense? Why future tense is past tense? So in general, we could ask another question. We know there's a general rule that the name of the wicked needs to be canned. It should rot. It should go on a shelf. You know how in your garage you have shelves of things you're never going to use ever. So just, by the way, just purge them, just throw them out now. Well, why do you, when you go, your kids are going to have to throw them out? Just throw them out now. You have boxes and boxes and oh, I might need it. What do you mean you might need it? You have flower vases. Did you ever go to the store, buy just the thing? No, just give me the flowers. I already have a vase at home. Did you ever do that? Nobody does that. But you still save like 100 vases. So there's a rule. There are things that just sit on the shelf. They just sit there. Says Gemara, the name of the wicked. By the way, any examples I use in the shir have no bearing of anything that takes place in my personal household. But the Gemara says that the name of the wicked should rot. My v'shem risham yirkav, Amar Rabbi Lazar, rekivus tale b'shmoisan. Mildew, mold, rot should arise on their name. D'lo maskim risham. We don't use the name of the wicked. So David, I want to ask you a question. Maybe you've heard this question before. So if we don't use the name of the wicked, so why is there a Tana, Rabbi Shmuel Aymer? Did you ever hear that question before?
Heard that question.
Right? Rabbi Shmuel Aymer. Why are we naming? Why would Rabbi Shmuel's father, can you imagine this little baby, beautiful baby. The parents are in the shul. The Rav is about, we're Mechabed, I don't know, the Tana, I don't know, Rabbi Akiva, you know, Mechabed, Rabbi Akiva, for Kriyas Hashem. Mechubed, Kriyat Hashem, the Tana Aleki, Rabbi Akiva, everyone, Rabbi Akiva. You have the name? You sure? You know? You want to tell me before? Yeah. Yeshma. I mean, did Rabbi Akiva, what was his reaction to that? Why would somebody be named Rabbi Shmuel Aymer? Rabbi Shmuel. So you say, well, it would seem that that's not such a big problem. Perhaps in light of something we learned last week, that Rabbi Shmuel did, that Yishmael did tshuva. And last week we learned that how do we know Yishmael did tshuva? We'll come to that later in the shir. But this week I want to introduce, not only did Yishmael do tshuva, Hashem promised Avram that Yishmael would do tshuva. Hashem told Avram, you will come to your forefathers in peace. You will be buried b'seva toiva. Says Rashi, Hashem promised Avram that Yeshua, that Yishmael would do tshuva b'yamav. Now, this really elicited the following question, because last week we learned that Yishmael did tshuva when they buried Avram, which indicates that Yishmael did tshuva after Avram died. But that's not what Avram was promised. Avram was promised that Yishmael would do tshuva in his lifetime. So the question is, when exactly did Yishmael do tshuva? But now I want to discuss the question of the century. What will be the fate of Yishmael in the end of days? What's going to happen to them? I know there's a lot of discussion out there. I know you get a lot of messages because you send them back to me. And everyone's getting a lot of different sources of information. And first thing I want to tell you is whatever someone tells you, sends you, you should believe fully. Everything they send you is mamish emes la'amitai. It happened. And Hashem wants you to be analyzing it very, very deeply. But besides that, what I want to discuss is, what does the Torah say about what will happen to Yishmael in the end of days? Says the Meshech Chachma, this is out of this world. If Yishmael did tshuva, ma'aseh avoy simin lebanim. That what? Hu remez shebnei Yishmael be'achris hayomim yiskarvu leha'emes v'yaminu b'ashem echad. In the end of days, the bnei Yishmael will come close to the truth and believe in one God. And they'll separate from idolatry. Like the Rambam writes in the tshuva. Now what tshuva is he talking about? The tshuva that he's talking about is, actually we discussed it in a Monday shir, is, are the Yishma'ilim oivdei avodah zarah?
No.
Are the Yishma'ilim oivdei avodah zarah?
No.
If they touch yayin, is it yayin nesach? Comes the chida, and the chida says yes.
Also, if you're mechalel Shabbos, also.
Yeah. However, the Rambam famously writes in a tshuva. Now, by the way, the Ran writes, the Yishmaelim are oivdei avodah zarah. Why? Because even though they believe in one God, But the manner with which they worship resembles idolatry because they're always bowing. And therefore, even if their belief is not Avodah Zarah, their manner of service, the Ran says it is. However, the Rambam writes, it is not Avodah Zarah. Why? Says the Rambam. Even though all the ancient biblical Avodah Zarah, whether it's Markulas, which is you throw stones at Avodah Zarah, which is Baal Pa'ar. What's Baal Pa'ar? One uncovers himself and they defecate in front of Avodah Zarah. It's a very, very inspiring type of Avodah. Yeah? And then there's Kemoish. Not Moish himself. Kemoish is a type of Avodah Zarah. These are the three biblical Avodah Zarahs. They are all the Avodah Zarah of Yishmael.
Baal?
I don't know about Baal. But Baal, I know, but these three, right, I know, but I don't know if that was an Avodah Zarah of Yishmael. The Rambam writes, these three, Baal Pa'ar, Markulis, and Kemoish were all the Avodah Zarah of Yishmael. However, the Rambam says they abandoned all that Avodah Zarah and they believed only in one God. Now, I would have said, Rabbi Isai, that good, Yishmael believes in one God. But that Masei Avos Simin Labanim, that Ba'achris Hayomim, they're going to come close to Hashem and believe in one Hashem? That Yishmael's tshuva somehow is a reference to Yishmael doing tshuva Ba'achris Hayomim? I wouldn't have said that necessarily. All the Rambam is saying is that Yishmaelim abandoned Avodah Zarah, but not that they really did a real full-fledged tshuva. And by the way, the Meshech Chachma is quoting the Ramban. I personally would not have read the Ramban this way. I would have understood the Ramban, that the Ramban says, in the beginning of the sixth millennia, the Yishmaelim will come close to the truth more than the Noitzrim, because the Noitzrim are still of the Avodah Zarah, and the Yishmaelim are not. But the words of the Meshech Chachma seem to say that the tshuva of Yishmael is a Maaseh Avos Simin Labanim, that in the end of days, Yishmaelim will do tshuva. Really? I guess we're going to have, you know, we're waiting for that. And that was a very eye-opening revelation. That the Yishmaelim in the end of days will do tshuva. And what's the proof? The tshuva of Yishmael portends to the future tshuva of the Yishmaelim. But here was my question. My question is, that I always understood, that in the end of days, there are going to be 70 nations, and the 70 nations will be under the Malchus of Yisrael. Klal Yisrael will have Malchus based David, and the nations of the world will have Tikkun through their recognition of Malchus Yisrael. So even though we say that on Sukkot we bring Shivim Parim, that are Mismait V'Hoylech, connected to the 70 nations that seem to be, they're going to diminish, the way we understand that, this is how Rav David Kohen explains it, that they will come to under the banner of the Jewish people, V'yayasu kulam aguda achas la'asay tzutzayin chabalev of shalem, and under our banner, they will thrive. But there are two exceptions. There are 70 nations, and we always say from the Vilna Gaon, every number 70 has two heads. So for example, God has 70 names, and the two heads are Ani V'Hai. Or, there are 70 members of the Sanhedrin, and the two heads are the Nasi and the Abezdin. There's a concept, 70 always has two heads. You have 70 Jews went down to Egypt, Yaakov and Yosef are at the head. And there's 70 nations, 35 under Yishmael, 35 under Esav. Eile Barechev, ve'eile Basusim. Okay, 35 and 35. Eile and Eile.
This is before Mashiach?
When Mashiach comes. Yeah, something. Mashahu kazeh. At the time of the coming of Mashiach.
Achir tayamin is different times of Mashiach.
Correct. Now, however, that's the 70 nations. But there'll be two nations that this does not apply to. There'll be two nations that will completely vanish. One is Esav. How do we know that? We know the pasuk says, "Lo yiyah sarid lebeis Esav." There'll be no survivors of the house of Esav. Edom will not survive. How do we know that? The pasuk, "Lo yiyah sarid lebeis Esav." Also in Koheles, Ein zichra, ein la rishaynim, ve'gam la achraynim, she'yu lo yeh lohem zikarayim, she'yu lo acharayna. There will be no memory of the early ones. Rashi and Kohela says, this refers to Esav, Amalek, that will be completely wiped out. So that's one nation that will not exist. And Rav David Kohen writes, this applies to another nation as well, Yishmael. The Zayar HaKadosh says, this is a famous Zayar, the Zayar on the end of Va'era. The Zayar in Va'era says that in the times of the coming of Mashiach, look at number 12, a nation will arise from the ends of the earth. It will attack Edom. It will wage war for 3 months. All the nations will gather. Edom will conglomerate from all ends of the world. And after that, what will happen? V'yishetze levnei Yishmael mina. Yishmael will be destroyed, the Zayar says. V'yitbar kol chelen delela, and all of his power will break. V'lo yishtar chelel ela al amad alma, there will be no power from above, only the power of Israel. So now, this was something that was occupying my mind for a while. What will happen to Yishmael in the end of days? The Meshech Chachma seems to say, they're going to do tshuva. The Zayar says, they're going down. By the way, I think there's another source that Yishmael will not continue. The Slichais on Monday for Bahab, I think we say it, Yom Naram, we say the words, in Yisrael noy shabashem tshua soilamim gama yom yivashu mipicha shechein meroimim ki ata rahav sicha yisuval arachem. Then we say kale seir v'chaisnai. You know, in the end of this week's parasha, we have a wedding made, a match made, not in a good place. Esav decided, Mamish Inveh HaGefen V'Inveh HaGefen, he married the daughter of Yishmael. You know, the Gemara says, Lama Halach Oyrev L'Gabe Zarzir, you know, Mamish Eitzel Zarzir. What, where do these two people, Matza Min Esminai. So, in the Slichas we say, Kale Seir V'Chaisnai, destroy Esav and his father-in-law, and the Shver. Who's the father-in-law of Esav? Yishmael. So that also indicates that they're both going down. And by the way, in the Afike Yam, which is Rabbi Yitzchak Isaac Chaver, he also explicitly writes that in the end of days, there'll be the two powers of Esav and Yishmael, the Shar and the Chamar, the Haim Asher Yichlu La'asid Lavai. So how do we reconcile this? Do we say like the Meshech Chachma, that Yishmael's tshuva portends, and the end of days Yishmaelim will do tshuva? Or will the Yishmaelim suffer the same fate as Esav? So, how do we reconcile the Meshech Chachma and the sources that Yishmael will be destroyed? And I think there are two approaches. And one of them is mamish out of this world. Approach number one. Last week, we learned Yishmael did tshuva. How do we know he did tshuva? Because he let Yitzchak go first in burying his father. As the Meshech Chachma explained, because Yishmael always contested that Yitzchak is the rightful heir. So the fact that he allowed Yitzchak to go first, that means he acknowledged that Yitzchak is the rightful heir. But that's the opinion that Yishmael did tshuva. Comes the Ritva. The Ritva says, why would we call a Tana Yishmael? Says the Ritva. You know why? The dad who called his son Yishmael holds like the opinion that Yishmael did tshuva. Oh, what do you mean he holds like the opinion that Yishmael did tshuva? Yishmael did tshuva! No, not necessarily. It's a shita that he did tshuva. But that doesn't mean everyone agrees. Because the Ritva gives a second answer. Inami, Yishmael is different. God called him Yishmael. God called him Yishmael. Meaning, really, Yishmael's a Rasha. And he didn't do tshuva. So why could you name after him? Because it's God gave the name. So we see from the Ritva that it's not unanimous that Yishmael did tshuva. Not only that, the Tosfos Yeshanim in Yuma doesn't bring the first answer. Tosfos Yeshanim asks, how could, according to the Tosfos Yeshanim says, if Yishmael didn't do tshuva, how could there be a Tana Rabbi Yishmael? Because Hashem gave the name. That means the Tosfos Yeshanim is paskening, Yishmael did not do tshuva. Yishmael never did tshuva. Yeah, except Yishmael. He expired. Your orange juice also sometimes vayigva. Right? On all the go into your medicine cabinet. 9 out of the 10 things expired 7 years ago. They were vayigva. Right? But people take them anyway because...
Wait, was Yishmael a tshuva or a tana?
We're going to see. The Taras Chaim, one of the Kadmoinim on the Gemara, asks, a very interesting Gemara. The Gemara says, a son could save a father. If a son's a tzaddik, he bails out the dad. A father who's a tzaddik is not mezaka the son. Why? Avraham is not matzil Yishmael. Ask the Taras Chaim, what do you mean Avraham is not matzil Yishmael? Yishmael doesn't need hatzola. He did tshuva. What do you mean Avram is not matzil Yishmael? What does Yishmael need Hatzalah for? If anything, Yishmael is greater than Avram. Because Avram didn't do tshuva. He was a tzaddik his whole life. Yishmael did tshuva. Says the Taras Chaim, it's doichik to say that this Gemara argues on Rabbi Yochanan who says Yishmael did tshuva. Meaning the Taras Chaim, a Kadmon, does not want to entertain the possibility that Yishmael did not do tshuva. And furthermore, you have to say Yishmael did tshuva, because how could you have a Tana, Rabbi Yishmael? Comes Rabbi Kiveger. And Rabbi Kiveger says, what do you mean how could you have a Tana named Yishmael? Don't you know the Tosfos Yeshanim? Hashem gave the name. And therefore says Rabbi Kiveger, there is no proof for sure that Yishmael did tshuva. Could be really Yishmael did not do tshuva.
So they named him Yishmael.
It could be he didn't do tshuva.
Because
God gave the name. Because God gave the name. By the way, Rabbi Kiveger on Shulchan Aruch Paskins, like the Tosfos Yeshanim, that if you have a name of a name like Yishmael, says Rabbi Kiveger, that a Rasha had it, and a Tzaddik had it, you could use the name. And he quotes the Tosfos Yeshanim. What do you mean? But Yishmael did tshuva. Now, Rabbi Kiveger is not going with that lahalacha. So it seems like it's not pashut that Yishmael did tshuva. The Gemara and Baba Basra says, Kal Misa, like Rabbi Shmuel asks, Sheyesh Bagvia, Zuhi Misasin Shal Tzaddikim. But the Gemara asks on that. By the Dar HaMabo, it also says, Vayigva. No, so the Gemara says, but whenever it says, Vayigva, Vayayasef. So the Gemara says, what about Yishmael? Rabbi Yochanan says he did tshuva. Then the Gemara asks, what's the proof? Proof is, because Yishmael let Yitzchak go first. The Gemara says, well, maybe they're just counting it, Derech HaChmasai. Okay. The bottom line is, it seems at least like it's not definitive that Yishmael did tshuva. According to that, we asked, what will the fate of Yishmael be? Do we say like the Meshech Chachma that the fact that Yishmael did tshuva means in the end of days they'll do tshuva? Or do we say like the Lashon of the Slicha is Kale Seir V'Chosnoi? Do we say like the Zayar? Could be it's Machlekes. According to the opinion Yishmael did tshuva, then in the end of days, the Yishmaelim will do tshuva. According to the opinion that Yishmael never did tshuva, so in the end of days, they're done. I have a different approach. You ready for this?
Yishmael is the brother of Yishmael?
No. I have a different approach. You ready for my approach? This is what I've been thinking about. What will be the fate of Yishmael in the end of days? Do we say, well, Yishmael did tshuva, So then, Maaseh Avos and Lubavitch, the Yishmaelim will do tshuva. Or do we say, no, it's not Pashut. The Gemara says that Avram can't save Yishmael. What do you mean? Yishmael doesn't need to be saved. That Gemara's mashma, Yishmael didn't do tshuva. So I have a question today. Are the Yishmaelim doing tshuva, or are they not doing tshuva? The answer is, it depends what country they come from. Some Yishmaelim, they sign the Abraham Accords, and they recognize Eretz Yisrael, and they shoot down missiles, so they're doing tshuva. And some Yishmaelim are, they don't seem to be involved in the tshuva process, let's say, of the Rabbeinu Yoina and the Shari Tshuva, of Aziva Sachet, Charata, Kabbal Al Asid, Yogoin, Tikkun Hachet, Tshuvas HaMishkal. It doesn't seem like they're embarking on a very thorough process of tshuva. So it'll probably be Yesh V'Yesh. The Yishmaelim that don't do tshuva, you want to know what's going to happen to them? We see what's happening to them. Yichlus, Kalei Soyer V'Chaisnoi. But Yishmaelim, some could do tshuva. And maybe they'll be very successful. And like the Meshech Chachma says, Maasei Avoisim and Labanim. So it could be, there are two available paths for the Yishmaelim. And we see both paths. Some are taking advantage of one path, and some are taking advantage of another path. I mean, that's what the Meshech Chachma says. In the end of days, there will be Yishmaelim that do tshuva. That's what they say. Yeah, I was going to talk about that, but maybe we'll talk about it next week.
But if you're talking about Ishmael, the name before Ishmael, the Tana Ishmael was Sefer Melachim. Ishmael ben Matana that killed
Gedalia.
He's a Russian.
Yeah, but he didn't end up too good.
He was a Kohen also.
There's also Yeser HaYishmaeli. Okay, there's a very interesting Shaila in Shal Sechua's Besamim Reish, which is usually attributed to the Rush, but we know the Rush did not write it. Why is it that you have a Rebbe Yishmael and there's no Rebbe Esav in the Gemara? Why do you have Rebbe Yishmael and not Rebbe Esav? So he gives a very interesting answer that the word Yishmael inherently has a very good meaning to it, that God will hear your tefillah. However, the word Esav does not have a good meaning to it. And then it was asked on him, why not? Well, Yitzchak and Rivka sure thought it had a good meaning to it. That's why they gave the name. So it seems like it doesn't have such a positive meaning. Okay. Now, regarding Yishmael did tshuva, I want to share with you a Dvar Torah that Reb David Weber shared with me this week. But I sort of brushed him off because I didn't know who it was coming from.
Avery. Give a shout out to Avery.
Avery? We'll give a shout out to Avery. But that still wouldn't get into this year. But I found that when Yonis Naibishitz was a young man and his prospective father-in-law came to him and was testing out whether he knows how to learn or not, so Rabbi Yonis Naibishitz said, I guess he was very confident, and he says to the prospective father-in-law, you know, the father-in-law says, what should I test you on? So Rabbi Yonis Naibishitz said, you give me any book, I'll ask you two questions, and then I'll ask you a third question that will answer the first two questions. So this is from Rabbi Yonis Naibishitz. Question number one is, how could there be a Tana named after Yishmael? Question number two is, why do we say every morning Rabbi Shmuel Oimer, which indicates Rabbi Shmuel is arguing on somebody? He doesn't argue on it, so it should be Omer Rabbi Shmuel. And number three, he has this rule, Klal Uprat. When you have a general rule and a specific rule, then that whatever the Ein Sheb'Prat El Ma Sheb'Chla. But how do you know it's a Klal Uprat? Maybe Ein Mukta Mamu'uchar B'Torah, and it's really the other way around. How could you ever darshan a Klal Uprat? So Rabbi Yonis Naibishitz says the third question will answer the first two. Why? You know how you can have a Tana named Rabbi Shmuel? Because he did tshuva. And therefore you can name after him. So you say, how do you know Yishmael did tshuva? Because first it says Yitzchak, and then it says Yitzchak. But maybe Ein Mukta Mamu'uchar B'Torah. Must be in one pasuk, there is an order. Oh, one pasuk order, then you could darshan klal uprat. Therefore, you know why Rabbi Shmuel Oimer? You know why he would say this? He would say this because he wanted everyone to know why his name was Rabbi Shmuel. His name was Rabbi Shmuel because Yishmael did tshuva. Yishmael did tshuva. How do we know? We know Yishmael because ain muktam because muktam ma'ucher b'toyra b'chad enyan. Again, but this is taking the view that Yishmael did tshuva. But again, it's not so simple that Yishmael did tshuva. And it could be his name was Rabbi Yishmael. Why? Because God gave the name. Now, my friend Rabbi Yitzchak Samet told me today that why do we have to prove Yishmael did tshuva from the fact that it says first Yishmael, first Yitzchak and then Yishmael? We know Yishmael did tshuva. Because at the Akedah, Avram took two guys with him, Eliezer and Yishmael. Now, he already chased him out. Sarah chased him out. Goresh ben Amazos. So how did he get back? He must have done tshuva. So why do we need to go and prove that from the Levaya? And I would say that's such a good question because he had to have done tshuva in the lifetime of Avram Avinu, because that's what Avram Avinu was promised. Avram wasn't promised that Yishmael was going to do tshuva after he died. Avram was promised that he's going to do tshuva in his lifetime. So Reb Schwab asked this question. Reb Schwab says, well, there's room to be circumspect that Yishmael came home and he only acted properly out of respect for Avram. So therefore, we need to go and see that really, we need to know that Yishmael did tshuva in Avram's lifetime. But how could we know he did tshuva in Avram's lifetime? That we see from the fact he was at the Akedah. But maybe it was a fake? No, we see it wasn't a fake, because even after Avraham died, Yishmael let Yitzchak go ahead of him.
Why did he associate him with a chamor? He called him a chamor. Called him a chamor or something.
Last there are a lot of righteous chamayrim.
What?
Just, could be he did tshuva.
What?
He did tshuva.
Why did he call him a chamayrim?
He said he told him to stay with the chamayrim. He didn't call him.
Yeah.
I think this
piece is a little bit of a, I would call it a loose end. Avram was promised Yishmael with tshuva in his lifetime, but Chazal never show where we see that Yishmael did tshuva in the lifetime of Avram Avinu.
Was he buried?
Avram wasn't alive. How do we see Yishmael did tshuva in the life of Avram? See, I don't have all the answers.
He just came.
He just came. So you mean it's not a proof that he did tshuva?
It wasn't real tshuva when he came back.
Right. So what real evidence is there that he did tshuva in the life of Avram? Okay. Now, Isaac, something you told me. Okay, I'm stirring it all up. Okay. Let's now come back to a very interesting question. So now that we've already determined what's going to happen to Yishmael right here in the Young Israel of Woodmere at 9:10 p.m. on Wednesday night, what's today's date? November 15th. What's the date in Lashon HaKodesh? We're in the month of Kislev. Now it's Gimel, right?
Yeah.
Gimel, Kislev. We've determined what's going to happen to Yishmael in the end of days. So basically, this is a good plug for them all to sign the Abraham Accords. You know, they have two choices. They could follow the shitas that Yishmael did in Tshuva. It's not a good ending. Or they could do it, or Maasei Avosim
and Labanim. Well, I just have to add, brother, I read last week that the Arabs just had very recently a big meeting, and they came up to Israel to condemn Israel.
Yeah.
And the people that voted against it,
yeah,
were all the guys from the Abraham Accord. All those countries voted against Israel at that meeting.
It's not a good tshuva, you know. It's up to them. It's not up to me. These are the
it's
two paths. These are the two paths that's available to them. Now I want to talk about, you know, this terrible tragedy that happened on October 7th, on Shmini Atzeres, on Simchas Torah, on the most joyous day of the year. How could such a terrible thing happen? And we're discovering that it could have been a lot worse. I mean, they had plans to go to the Shomron. They had the plans to carry out attacks on a much wider scale. They had plans to go to a yeshiva on Simchas Torah. So in a way, even though it was a terrible tragedy, it could have been of even greater proportions. There's a very interesting kavana that the Arizal says to have when you're making hakafais on the Yom Tov of Sukkos, especially on Hoshana Rabbah. The Arizal says to be mechavein in the name Kale. And not just Kale, Kale b'miluai. Kale b'miluai is Aleph Lamed Pei, which is 111, and Lamed Mem Dalet, which is 74. 111 and 74 is 185. Hekaf. That on the Yom Tov of Sukkos, when you're going around the Bima, you should be mechavein to the name Kale. Kale b'miluai Aleph Lamed, spelled out Aleph Lamed Pei, Lamed Mem Dalet, is He Kuf Pei, 185, protection. In other words, by encircling the Bima on the Yom Tov of Sukkos, especially on Hoshana Rabbah, it gives us unusual protection for the eighth day, the protection of He Kuf Pei, Hekuf. That's Kale b'miluai. That's very interesting. Now, when Hashem told Avraham that he's going to have a son Yitzchak, look at number 27. Vayomer lekim, aval Sarah ishtecha, yoyledes l'cha bein, but Sarah, your wife, will have a son. V'karas Hashem Yitzchak, v'hakim oisiyas brisi yitai, I'm going to establish my covenant with him, levris olam, for everlasting covenant, lezara yachrov, and his children after him. So to Yitzchak, I'm going to make an everlasting covenant. But uli Yishmael, shematicha, regarding Yishmael, I listened to you. Hine beirachti oisai, I blessed him. V'efreisi oisai, I multiplied him. V'herbeisi oisai, and increased him. B'ma'oid ma'oid. There are going to be a lot of those guys. V'ezbrisi akim es Yitzchak. But my covenant I'm going to seal with Yitzchak. Rashi's bothered. God already said he's going to make a covenant with Yitzchak. Why does he have to say again, Esbrisi akim es Yitzchak? Good question, right? Pasuk Yud Tes, it says, V'hakim oisai esbrisi itai levris oilam lezara yacharav. And then regarding Yishmael, I will bless him, I will increase him, but Yitzchak, my covenant I will seal with Yitzchak. So Rashi says, what is this teaching us? First God says, I'm going to seal a covenant with Yitzchak. Then Hashem says, I'm going to make a covenant with Yishmael to multiply them, increase them, make them successful. And Kal v'chomer, I'm going to make a covenant with Yitzchak. Kal v'chomer, I'm going to make a covenant with Yitzchak. So, in our shiurim, in Parashas Lech Lecha, on Friday, we have a shiur called Imponderables. We asked, why would you need a kal v'chomer that Hashem will make a covenant with Yitzchak if the pasuk before says He's going to make a covenant with Yitzchak? Right? Pasuk Yotes, God says, I'm going to make a covenant with Yitzchak. Then Hashem says, I'm going to bless Yishmael. And kal v'chomer, I'm going to make a covenant with Yitzchak. What do you need a kal v'chomer for? You have a pasuk. God, you know what a kal v'chomer is? Kal v'chomer is, you know what a kal v'chomer is? An a fortiori argument. That if a minor league player who didn't start taking steroids yet could hit a home run, so kal v'chomer, a major leaguer who's been injecting with that stuff for many, many years, certainly he could hit a home run. That's a kal v'chomer. Right? I don't know about these things. Somebody told me. So, that's a kal v'chomer, meaning madacha, if the small guy could do it, the big guy could do it. So, why do I need a kal v'chomer that Hashem's going to make a covenant with Yitzchak? The pasuk says Hashem's going to make a covenant with Yitzchak. So,
Because after he gave the bris to Yitzchak, he then blessed
Yishmael.
So if he's blessing Yishmael, then maybe he's forgetting about...
He said, I make a covenant with you, so why is he forgetting?
Blessing Yishmael. So which one is it, Yishmael or Yitzchak?
Both. So Rabbi Isaac Yosilevsky showed me a sheet from the Shvilei Pinchas and Parshas Lech Lecha, who he brings that the Bnei Yisachar asked this question. And the Bnei Yisachar wants to know, why do I need a kal v'chomer for Yitzchak if there's an explicit pasuk for Yitzchak? Says the Bnei Yisachar, very beautiful. Because the pasuk said, I make a covenant with Yitzchak, lezarei acharav, when his children follow after him. But if his children don't follow after him, all bets are off. But luckily Hashem says, I make I'm going to bless Yishmael. They're going to be blessed, successful, multiply. Kal v'chomer to Klal Yisrael. Now that kal v'chomer is irrespective of how our children act. Because as bad as we are, we'll always be better than them. So the reason why we need a kal v'chomer, even though we have an explicit pasuk, because the explicit pasuk is only lezaroi acharav, is only if the children follow in your ways after you. So the Ribbono Shel Olam wanted to protect us. And the ultimate protection of the Jewish people is the kal v'chomer from Yishmael. You hear this? If you want to know, what, when all is said and done, what is the ultimate protection on Klal Yisrael? The ultimate protection is the kal v'chomer that HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Avram. That I know I'm making a covenant with you if your children follow after you. And if your children don't follow after you, if I'm blessing very generously Yishmaelim, then for sure you get it. Now, a great principle that we learned many, many times is that the 13 midos of Rachamim correspond to the 13 midos shehatorah nidrashes bahem. So in other words, there are 13 hermeneutical principles of exegesis, whatever that means, right? There are 13 midos with which the Hashem gave Klal Yisrael to darshan the Torah. The first one is kal v'chomer. The second one is gzeira shava. The third one is binyanav. Klal uprat. Who taught them? Rabbi Shmuel. What's the first of the Yud Gimel Midos Harachamim? Kale. Now Tosfos says Hashem Hashem, but the Arizal says Kale, and Hashem Hashem are the two fathers. So, the Maggid of Mezrich would say, Moshe Rabbeinu daven to Hashem kale na refana. He wanted to arouse the midah of kale. God says, why you, what you want to arouse the midah of kale? The aviha yarak yarak befaneha loisikam shivazim. Learn the laws of kal v'chomer. Madach, if her father, Miriam's father, would have spit at her, she would have gone into seclusion for 7 days. So it's kal v'chomer. Now that I'm angry at her, Miriam has to go into seclusion at least 14 days. So we see from here a very important principle that the 13 midos of Rachamim correspond to the 13 midos she'atar nidrashes bahem. And if you want to arouse the midos of Rachamim, you learn the 13 midos she'atar nidrashes bahem. Therefore, says the Bnei Yisachar, on the Yom Tov of Sukkos, when we're trying to get protection from the nations of the world, the main avodah of the Yom Tov of Sukkos is to be protected from the 70 umos. You go around the bima, and you're mechavein hekif, 185. 185 is kale b'miluai. 31? What, kale is aleph? Aleph, aleph, lamed, pei, 111. Lamed is 74, 185. You're supposed to be thinking kale when you do the hakafos. That protects you from the nations of the world. How? Because kale corresponds to kal v'chomer. And when you arouse the kal v'chomer, Hashem says, if I need to give the Yishma'elim bracha v'hatzlacha, kal v'chomer to Klal Yisrael. So says the Bnei Yisachar, the reason why on the Yom Tov of Sukkos, we're supposed to think kale when we're soivev the bima, when we do hakafos. Because since the purpose of the Yom Tov of Sukkos is to gain protection from the 70 nations of the world, and the way to be protected is to remind Hashem of the kal v'chomer from Yishmael. Therefore, when you're doing the hakafos, you should be mechavein, you're going around the bima, to be ma'oira the midah of kale. You think hekuf, hey kuf pei, which is kel b'miluai. In other words, if you want to know, what do we gain by doing hakafos? One thing's for sure, we gain protection from Ishma.
If you're saying kel over there.
One second. So isn't it, you think it's a coincidence that Rabbi Shmuel Haya Oimer, Rabbi Shmuel is the one who, so to speak, showed that the Yishmaelim did tshuva. The first thing he teaches is kal v'chomer, which is ma'orah the midah of kale, which is protection from Yishmael. You think it's a coincidence that the first teaching of Rabbi Yishmael is Kal V'Chomer, which is the very protection we're seeking from Yishmael. It's also interesting that the Iker day of the Hakafos is Hoshana Rabbah, where we take an Arava. An Arava has no mitzvahs and no Masim Tovim. You know why? It's the only day that we could say to Hashem, even without mitzvahs and without Masim Tovim, since we're doing Hakafos and we're Ma'ora, the Midah of Kale, then even without any mitzvahs, we're better than them. So Hoshana Rabbah is the day that we activate the greatest protection against Yishmael. So, you know, in a certain, and not only that, we don't even make a bracha on the Hoshanas. Why? Because we say to Hashem, on this day, we don't even have to do mitzvahs to be protected. That's the way to make a bracha. So on the one hand, it seems ironic, because the Bnei Yisachar says that after Hoshana Rabbah, we are so protected from the nations of the world. Ein Satan ve'ein Pegara. But on the other hand, could it be that the Ribbono Shel, in his infinite mercy on the Jewish people, orchestrated that if something had to happen, the Ribbono Shel wanted us to have maximum possible protection. So Ribbono Shel made sure that right before we had Hoshana Rabbah, and we had the Hakafos of Simchas Torah, and unfortunately it was a terrible disaster, but we see it could have, what it could have been, what they're capable of, what they wanted to do. So you say, well, that's a sort of an unusual way of looking at things. We learned in this year, less than a year ago, from Abchaim Falaji, that the reason why Hashem always arranged that the blood libels take place Pesach time is Hashem wants us to have maximum protection. So He makes it that if it has to happen, it happens at a time that it's Leil Shimurim. So that if it has to happen, we have maximum protection. So if there's a day that we could gain maximum protection from Yishmael, it would be the day after Hoshana Rabbah. So I think that's something. This is more positive. Yeah? So these are some things to think about. First of all, what will the fate be of Yishmael in the end of days? The Meshech Chachma sees in the tshuva of Yishmael that somehow this is a pre-enactment at the end of days. Shebnei Yishmael v'achziyom yiskarvu lo ha'emes. I would have thought that means it happened already through the religion. But the words of Meshech Chachma indicate that perhaps they will do tshuva. Doesn't seem to be consistent with many sources. For example, Kalei Seir v'choisnai. We brought a number of Rishonim, that it's not definitive, in fact, that Yishmael did tshuva. So not definitive, then maybe the opinion that Yishmael will do tshuva is according to those shittos that Yishmael did tshuva. Or we said it could be, in fact, you know, there are two paths that are available. And another interesting thing is the idea that the Yom Tov of Sukkos, especially Hoshana Rabbah, is Ma'or the Midah of Kale. And Kale awakens Kal V'Chomer, and the specific Kal V'Chomer that HaKadosh Baruch Hu blesses Klal Yisrael with is that if I bless the Yishmaelim, Kal V'Chomer, I bless you. And that is ultimately our greatest protection, says Bnei Yisachar. Now we understand, he doesn't quote the Pirkei Rabbi Elazar. He says, we asked that he's called Yishmael, that God will listen to our prayer in the future. That's not what he told the Malach. Didn't Hashem tell the Malach that Hashem heard your tefillah? So number one, in the past tense, and we asked, it's referring to Hagar's tefillah, not our tefillah. So the Bnei Yisachar says yes. But implicit in the birth of Yishmael is a Kal V'Chomer. And that Kal V'Chomer is that if God's going to listen to his tefillah, Alachas kama v'kama, he listens to our tefillah. So therefore, even though specifically it's Kishama Hashem Elon Yech, the Kal V'Chomer says that if he listens Shama, Alachas Kama V'Kama, Yishama Lanu. Says Bnei Yisachar, therefore the name, the Ikar name, the main name of Yishmael is Yishmael, God will listen to our tefillah. So in other words, whatever you see in Yishmael, whatever temporal success, whatever kayach they have, in that, implicit in that is the Esbrisi Akim Es Yitzchak Im Leben HaShivcha Kein Kavachoymer Leben HaGevira. So these are some ideas about the fate of Yishmael and Be'ezos Hashem, our even greater success, Be'achras Hayamim. So we should be Zoicha, as the Baal HaTurim says in the end of Parshas Chayisara, Kishenofal Yishmael B'soif Yamav Oz Yitzmach Ben David M'her V'yameinu Amen. Shkayach. No. Yeah.
You've just experienced another Torah class brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.